Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3. As you're turning there, let me just take this time to just thank Pastor Eric and his precious wife, Sister Jessica, that for all the hospitality that I've received and the welcome and the warmth of being here. This is a wonderful church. God put this church on my heart to be here with you. It's not just an opportunity for me to go and minister, but there is something that God is building here that I counted a privilege to be a part of, not just this morning, but tonight. And I believe that you're going to hear things today that God is going to use to inspire you and create a stirring and a hunger in your heart. So I just want to thank them and then also thank you. This is my first time in the beautiful city of Tacoma. I don't know what took me so long to get here, but I sure woke up this morning and I was staring at that beautiful Mount Rainier there, and I was like, man, Lord, what a blessed city and what a blessed group of people. Amen? So I'm excited with you. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to ask everybody, out of respect for the Word of God, unless you have a leg problem, a back problem, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, and then we'll go ahead and get into the message this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and the Bible reads this. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. I'll say that again. Disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful. Unholy. Without love. Unforgiving. Slanderous. Without self-control. Brutal. Not lovers of good. Treacherous. Rash. Conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Have nothing to do with these types of people. Father, bless the reading of your word. We love you and we thank you in your precious name. Everybody said, amen. Turn around, give somebody a high five, and you may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you for the next few moments as a church that I don't want to speak to your present. I don't want to speak into your past. But I want to speak to you and speak into your future this morning. As a church that God is preparing to do a great and mighty work here in the city of Tacoma. This is a church that, if you don't know it, for you to be here this day is like you being a part of Microsoft. Are you hearing me? In the 80s. Are you hearing me today? You are a part of something that God is not wanting to grow, but already is holding the growth in his hands. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 says, for you shall expand to the right and to the left. That is not a hope. That is not a wish. That is the Lord saying, Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, the Lord says, for I will go before you. And Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 says, for you shall expand. And so what that is telling us today is that I am not speaking to a church that might grow, that possibly will grow, that is hoping to grow, but I'm speaking to a church this morning that is going to grow because you are not waiting on success. You are not waiting on growth. Growth and success are waiting on you. Can you hear that this morning? And so there's things this morning that I'm going to say that I want you to be able to catch in your spirit. There may be things that you've heard before, but I want to come and water that seed that you've heard, because this is the time for us to begin to dream bigger. This is the time for us to aim bigger. This is the time for us to learn more. This is the time for you to say goodbye to your past. Isaiah 43, 18 through 19 says, forget the past. It doesn't say forget the painful past. It doesn't say forget the hurts of your past. It says, no, forget your pains, forget your victories, forget everything, because it says, now I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? The word new thing means brand new. Are you hearing me? The difference between new and brand new is a newer version of what you already had. And brand new is what never existed in your life before. Are you hearing me today? And so, you know, and some of you are looking and say, man, you don't know anything about me. How do you know that success is waiting on me? How do you know that, you know, there are good things that are going to happen? You don't even know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the mistakes I've made. Well, listen, I don't need to know who you made yourself into to tell you about who you really called to be. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm speaking into the part of you that the Bible says in Jeremiah 29, 10 through 11, the Lord says, for I know the plans I have for you. The word plans means that when God decided to make you and I, he sat down and he imagined and invented us. Yeah. Yeah. You only imagine and invent something because it doesn't exist. The word in Genesis, the Bible says that then the Lord said he created man in his image. The word created is the Hebrew word bara, which means that not only did he imagine and invent you, but when it came time to actually making you, you were so valuable that he could not draw from something else to make the core of who you would be. So he cut a piece of himself out to make you. Are you hearing me? Sometimes that's the challenge, is that we don't know who we really are because we spend our life dealing with the layers of junk that we did to ourselves. But when you come to church, God isn't here this morning to speak to your layers. He's here to speak to your core. Are you hearing me? When the Lord steps before you, he doesn't come to speak to what you did to yourself. He came to speak to what he did to you. And you have to know that this morning, every time you come into church, because if you listen to the wrong side, and if you listen and apply the word to the wrong part of you, you won't leave with what you were supposed to leave with. He says, I created them. This is the best part. He said, after he created, he told man, go be fruitful and go multiply. The word fruitful means go be great. Go expand. Go live in expansion and don't let anybody put limits on you. Are you hearing me? So this morning, this is what we've come to speak to. You know, I feel a little bit more comfortable down here. Is it possible? Can I get a little help real quick to put this? I want to be close to you. I came to Tacoma to build a relationship with you, and I feel a little bit better when I'm closer to you. And so these are the things that we have to understand this morning. Now, there's something that I want you to get, and I want to speak to you out of this passage here, is that the book of 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 2, it's talking about a specific topic that is very important. Why am I saying all the things that I'm saying? Is because in order for us to get, now remember, we're not praying God grow the church. We're not praying God bring us success in this area of our life, in this area of our ministry. That's a wasted prayer. Because the prayer is, God, lead me to where you've already planted the success. Lead me to where you've already planted the growth. See, when you pray, God, give us success, you're praying, it's like you're hoping that God's going to give it to you. And meanwhile, the Lord is standing in your future and he's saying, well, I don't know why you're spending so much time praying for it. Like, I don't even create it. I already created it. It's here waiting for you, but you're stuck there. I'm trying to get you from here to there. See, that's what happens, is that when we go through things, it's a mentality shift. See, some of us, our mentality, I was like this before, where I used to pray. Anybody ever pray this prayer? Lord, give me the power to handle this problem. Give me the strength to handle what I'm going through. I was praying that when my wife was sick with cancer, and 4 months later she died. And after she died, I was there and I was praying, God, give me the strength, give me the power to handle this problem. And God began to speak to me one day in my prayer. He said, you're praying the wrong prayer. He said, don't pray for me to give you the power to handle this problem. You pray that this pain will produce the power that you need for where you're about to step. Because what you're going through today is building you for where I'm about to take you. It says what you're doing is you're praying a prayer that will help you stay where you are. And I want you to pray a prayer that will take you to where you're going to go. Are you hearing me? See, a big part of us growing to our next level is getting you out of where you're at and getting you to start having a future focus. A from now on mentality. Are you hearing me? I don't want to be around people that are holding my past over my head. I don't want to talk to people about my mistakes. I don't want people to come. If they want to talk to me about my flaws and my mistakes and everything, I'll listen. But really, it's not my favorite topic. I'm more interested in someone talking to me about where I'm going and what God wants to do. Are you hearing me? Because I came to church already knowing my flaws. I came to church this morning. You already came this morning knowing everything that was wrong with you. When Wouldn't it be nice if someone told you everything that's right about you? Wouldn't it be nice if we got our heart and started to say, God, I know where I struggle, but I need to get where I... Oh, come on now. Some of you are saying, yeah, but you'll never get better and you'll never, deal with your flaws. No. See, you are... Let me just tell you this. We haven't even gotten to the message. I'm just kind of laying a backdrop for the day. Is that... It is not you getting better and improving your flaws is not going to be what takes you to your next level. Your flaws need to be improved. Yes, I agree. Our flaws need to be improved. But it is you getting better at what you're naturally gifted to do that will take you to your never before. See, everybody wants to go to a new level. Everybody wants to go to and experience life like they've never lived it. But to go where you've never been means you have to do what you've never done, which will require you to become who you've never been. The challenge for us is that we want to go where we've never been, being who we've always been. You're trying to use what you've learned when you don't understand that what you've learned, it did its job. It brought you to where you are. It's not what you know that will take you where you've never been. It's what you don't know yet. Are you here? Are you getting this morning? It's not what you know that will take you. It's not what you lived. It's not what you've experienced. It's what you haven't experienced. Isaiah 48, 6 through 7 says, from now on, I will tell you of things that never existed until now. You've never heard of these things, so you can't say you've learned of them from somewhere else, the Bible says, because it's a lie, because they never existed until you got to this location. Are you hearing me? See, it wasn't and it's not what you lived yesterday that's going to get you to your tomorrow. It's what you need to do this morning is that abandoning the past completely so that I could make room to learn for my future. See, some of you are here this morning and you're trying to get to your next level, but you're trying to pick through your life as to what to bring. It's like when we got to this church. Are you hearing me? Yeah. We got to this church and there was a lot of things that we didn't need that we found in different rooms. Are you hearing me? There were some things that we were looking at. Pastor Eric told me, he says, well, I was looking at that. And where did that come from? Why is that? And why do we have seven of that? We don't need any of them. We don't need one of them. We got seven of them. Are you hearing me? Some of you are bringing and hoarding and collecting things of your life, and you're wondering why it's so hard to get where you've never been, because the Lord is saying, just let it all go. Amen. Because it did its job. Are you hearing me? It's like when the Lord fed the children of Israel manna from heaven. He fed them for the day. And when the day was over, what he fed them did not have no nutritious value for the next day. Are you hearing me? He said, the reason why I'm doing that is because I need you to depend on me tomorrow. the way you did yesterday. I need you to depend on me tomorrow. Are you hearing me? I need a daily dependence. And I can't just give you what you need for your life. I'm going to give you what you need for today so that you can get. Are you hearing me? Well, no, but I want it all, God. I want to be secure. No. You don't need money for security. You don't need a job for security. You don't need love for security. The Lord steps on and he says, here's security. I'm here. I'm your security. Right? So these are things that we have to understand in order to get this message that I want to share with you this morning. And the topic that I want to speak to you on this morning is the topic of unintentional selfishness. Unintentional selfishness. Now, why unintentional? Because I'd like to believe that every single person in here does not wake up in the morning and say, good morning, life. I'm going to take care of me and only me today. Are you hearing me? But somehow, throughout the course of the day, some of our lives end up being lived out that way. We don't wake up with that intention, but sometimes we go to sleep having practiced a selfish lifestyle. And if anything is going to grow this church, it is going to be an altruistic lifestyle that is going to hit this congregation. Altruistic is another word for unselfishness. An unselfish lifestyle. Now the Bible says here that in 2 Timothy it says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. How many say that we're in the last days? How many can vouch that there are terrible times all around us? Are you hearing me? You can't look at the news. I think they need to change all the news to the eyewitness bad news at 7 o'clock. Are you hearing me? Because every news is broadcasting something bad. Something crazy is happening. Kids killing their parents. Parents killing their kids. Innocent people killing, dying from somebody that's on a vengeance. And, I mean, you just look, and the murders and the things are getting crazy, and the drugs are getting crazy, and people are taking drugs in Miami that are making them walk like zombies. I don't know if you've seen it on Facebook and on different things. They're taking drugs, and they're literally walking and contorting their bodies like zombies as they're walking down the street. It looks like a movie of The Walking Dead, and these people are addicted to this drug. And these are the things that are happening all around us. And guess what? The Lord doesn't blame the devil. He doesn't say the devil is doing this to the world. He doesn't say, well, the enemy is coming and he's attacking the world. He says, everything that you're seeing is because of you. It's because men are loving themselves more than loving the Lord. Are you hearing me? This is the time for us to recognize if there's any trait our church here in Tacoma needs to develop strength in, is it is in our unselfish lifestyle. That let it be known all over the world that when you come to the City of Victory Outreach, Tacoma, Washington, that you will find a group of people that are laying their lives down for someone else, that believe that the way to a greater life is by you having your breakthrough. See, I learned this real quick. When my wife was dying, I told Pastor Eric a time that when my wife got sick, and every day I would give her a shot of her blood thinner. And as I would give her a shot of her blood thinner on this particular day, we had started, God gave us a vision for what you'll see later on, which is called Live Grateful, and it's become a powerful resource for our ministry. But how God started that vision was that, and he brought it to life, was when I gave my wife her shot, I turned around and we were in our house and she was laying on her bed, and then I was washing my hands, and behind me I heard her pray, and she started praying. She said, Lord, I want you to know that if you don't heal me, I want you to know that I love you. She said, I want you to know that you don't have to keep doing for me in order for me to love you. You've done enough for me already. And so if you choose not to heal me, just know that my love is forever sealed in my heart for you. Man, when I heard that prayer, I turned around. I was preaching, going all over. I remember hearing that prayer. It touches my heart when I think about it. Because I remember turning to my wife and I told her, baby, I said, I don't want to preach. I want to stay here with you. I'll just take care of you. I'm going to be here and I'll just watch after you because I feel that this is my place. This is where I need to be. And she looked at me and she said, babe, she said, I would love for you to be here with me. She said, but why should people have to wait for me to get healed before they get help? She said, let's help people while we need help ourselves. Are you hearing me? And when I heard those words spoken to my heart, I walked away and the Lord told me, son, the first part of your life you spent trying to be great. But the second half of your life, I'm going to show you what true greatness is. If you want to live a great life, then spend your life making others great. You see, the essence of unselfishness is to know that your life will reach new levels as you help my life reach new levels, as you help her life reach new levels, as you help your children's life reach new levels. Greatness comes to those who make others great. Are you hearing me? Get to a good place to clap. But to do that, we have to battle a few things. Are you hearing me? Let's bring it back to reality. To do that, we have to do a few things. One of the things that we have to do is we have to target self-love that the Bible is talking here. Now, first of all, understand this. Who doesn't love themselves? All of us do. That's not what the Bible is talking about. It's not talking about just loving yourself. Matter of fact, the Bible says that you, what's the first and greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Secondly is to what? Love your neighbor as what? As you love yourself. So we know that the Lord actually promotes self-love. But the self-love that is being talked about here is a sinful love. It's a love for your carnal self more than you love your spiritual self. I'll say it again. It's a love for your carnal self more than your spiritual self. It's when you live your life to gratify your lust, and we make provision to please ourselves rather than pleasing God and fulfilling our daily godly call and duty. You see, this is a time in our life where the Bible is saying when men are lovers of themselves, why is this important? Catch this morning. Why is it important for us to understand this? Is because when men and women love themselves, then what happens is you live your life a certain way. You go after what you can get, and you protect whatever you earn. Are you hearing me? See, when selfishness is the drive, when you're trying to get what you need, you go after what you're trying to get, and you try to keep what you got, and that makes us dangerous to each other. Because we're no longer looking. Matter of fact, that's why sometimes when you feel the pastor will come and you ask for tithes and offerings, or he'll say, hey, we need some help here. We need your time. We need your treasure. We need your talent. We need this. And there's a wall that comes up. And that wall comes up from the mentality of, hey, wait a minute. Don't touch what I've earned. This is mine. I worked for this. You didn't. Don't touch it. Why are you asking me for my money? This is my money. See, when that wall comes up, why are you asking me for my treasure? Why are you asking me for my time? Why are you asking me for my talent? Why are you asking me to be committed? Why are you asking me to be faithful? Why are you asking me to come back on Sunday night? Why are you asking me to give my offering? Why are you asking? When that mentality comes, it's a red light. There's selfishness in our life. It's quiet, huh? Great achievement is usually born of great sacrifice and is never a result of selfishness. Napoleon said that. If selfishness is the key to being miserable, then selflessness must be the key to being happy. Joyce Meyer said that. Selfishness is not living the way you want to live. It's asking others to live the way you want them to live. Oscar Wilde said. Selfishness is the greatest curse of the human race. William Gladstone said this. In a recent study, when I was preparing this message, I looked and I came across an article that was done by several federal agencies, state agencies, medical groups, universities, and other groups. And they went on a discovery and an exploration in America, and they wanted to find out what is the cause of the recent decay in America. And all these different organizations, atheist groups and Christian groups and medical groups, they all got together and they all did their own independent studies, and they returned and they brought all their data and everything that they found out. And what they found out was amazing, that in their own research, they found that the cause of decay in modern society is caused by selfishness. Are you hearing me? They said, why is selfishness, you may say, why is selfishness something that we need to be concerned with? It's because it is the spirit that the church is fighting in this day. The Bible says that in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves. If you need to fight anything, see, you can't reach your full potential being selfish. Are you hearing me? We can't reach the greatest levels that God wants to take us to if we struggle with this subtlety of selfishness. Why? Because selfishness does not allow us to work together. Selfishness does not allow us to reach common goals. You know why society is a mess? You know why there were so many Republican candidates, so many Democratic candidates? It's because everybody is voting in who they want to run, because every one of those people stand for what they stand for. Are you hearing me? Why does everybody love Donald Trump? Why was he a joke and now he's the front runner? Are you hearing me? Because the world is dying for someone that's real. Even if they say real things that offend people, they're tired of fake political people that have an agenda that doesn't favor the people. Are you hearing me? What is that called? Selfishness. What the world is battling with right now is the selfish nature to do what it wants. Why do you think drugs are being legalized? Why do you think a gay marriage? You guys know in this area, this is a liberal place. This is very much, it used to be Hollywood was the only liberal place. My city, where I live. But then before you know it, it's all of a sudden now I go to Colorado. I was there 3 weeks ago. And I was there in Colorado. Now the economy is getting boosted. Property value is going up. Why? Because people are coming in and saying, how much are you paying for your house? I pay $1,200 a month. Well, listen, we'll pay $4,000 for your house, but we want you to move out, and we're going to sell weed out of your house. And now the property value is skyrocketing. But yet everybody's thinking it's great. The legalization of gay marriage and the homosexual community at large is rising up and taking over in different places. Why? It's because people are going after what they want. And when they come together, there is no agreement. Because you are for drugs, I'm not. You're for homosexuality, I'm not. You're for abortion, I'm not. And the world can accomplish simple goals because we agree on nothing, because selfishness. Boy, is it quiet in here or what? Are you hearing me? See, some of you, you've become selfish because you've been hurt. You've become selfish because you struggle with selfishness because you've gone through a lot. And so what you've done is you've said, well, you know what? Nobody knows what this happened to me and that happened to me. And so what I've done is that I'm going to protect myself, and I'm going to put up walls, and I'm not going to love the way I used to love. I'm not going to trust the way I used to trust. I'm not going to give the way I used to give. I met that man and I gave my heart to him completely, and he broke my heart. And so now every man that I meet after that man is going to suffer for what that man did to me. Are you hearing me today? And so what does it do? It allows us to go from a place where we are broken And then when we were broken, and then we become crooked. Right? That's what crooked does. Selfish makes us crooked. Brokenness makes us crooked. Why? Because you develop a pride that says, I'm not going to let anybody in so that they won't have a chance to do what that person did. And the funny thing about trust is the only way to repair trust is to trust. Isn't that crazy? Man, my trust was broken. Well, how do I repair it? Trust. You know? I got to trust again. You know? And so what happens is, see, the Bible, when it uses the word crooked, the Bible says, I will make the crooked places straight. The word crooked, what it's actually being defined as, is it's a pride that was developed from a broken life. And what it means is that you developed a system to protect yourself that seems right, but what happens is that even in a guarded fortress, you built a wall all around your life that you live in so that it's fortified and no one will be able to hurt you ever again. But the problem is that what makes it crooked is that it was never anybody else who made you crooked. The person you're protecting is the one whose heart betrayed them and misled them. Is this too quiet? Are you hearing me? So why are we talking about this? It's because these are the things that rise when we're talking about being selfish, or we're talking about getting our eyes and having to trust God and trust leadership and trust the call of God and trust the process. Trust that, be patient. We have to learn to pay the price of slowness, because the road to greatness is slow. Are you hearing me? But in order for us to do these things, we have to be able to say, Lord, I need to know, am I selfish or aren't I? Well, here's a good way. How to tell if you are living a selfish life or an unselfish life is determined by this. How much is happening to you? In other words, how much do you live your life saying, okay, I come to church this morning, I need a breakthrough. I come to church this morning, I need a word. Pastor, I hope you have a good message today, because, man, I need that word. Are you hearing me? So you live life, okay, I got to go do this, I got to do this, I need. So you live life on how much is happening to you. When you're unselfish, you live your life of how much is happening through you. I'm coming to church today to pay my tithes, because I know I'm going to be a blessing in the house of God. I'm coming to church today to serve wherever they need to be serving. I'm coming to take care of my kids because my babies need to be fed. I'm coming to my work to be a blessing to my boss, because I know I want to excel, but I'm going to make him shine. I'm going to make another man shine before I shine. I'm going to make my business successful before I'm successful. I'm coming to give life. Oh, I'm grateful that I woke up today, Lord, as I stood up in that hotel room and I overlooked the area that I was looking, and I looked at the mountain. I said, Lord, thank you for bringing me here to Tacoma. Now use me to bless your people. Use me to take your people to another level. Use me, but get all the credit. Are you hearing me today? You see, these are the things that you and I have to ask ourselves. Now ask yourself, how much is happening to you? How much is happening through you? If you want to live a great life, you got to spend your life making others great. You got to look for the potential in people. Yes. See, you love people. The reason why some of you can't love, hug, you can't be kind, you struggle with being giving, you struggle with seeing somebody else's potential, is because you love how you love you. You're critical of me because you're critical of you. You're selfish with me because you're selfish with you. You don't give you the things you need, so what would it make me think you would give me what I need? Are you hearing me? See, this is the time that God says, listen, I want to teach you how to love yourself in a healthy way, but I'm going to use the way you love you. Because you love me, I'm going to teach you how to love others. I'm going to break those barriers of hurt. I'm going to break down those walls of distrust. I'm going to break down those things that you went through. I'm going to heal you of your past. But don't sit around and revisit your past. Step into your future, because as you step into your future, I'll heal your past. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap of praise if you're getting this morning. Let me just tell you this. Look, at the reason why this is so important is that I remember being a young man. I've been raised in Victory Average since I was 5 years old. I'm 44 now. That's 39 years. I've been in ministry for 27 years. I've lived with people my whole life in the ministry. And in growing up in this ministry, I remember a time coming to church. And I was helping the sound man. I wasn't saved. I was in the back. But I remember Pastor Sonny Sr., our founder, coming up and saying, if you're a part of this church and this is your church, I want you to stick around after. We want to meet with you after the service. Julie and I would like to meet with you. And after the service was dismissed, everybody stood, and Pastor Sonny started talking about a piece of property that he found in La Puente, California. And he said, there's a piece of property that we felt that God has given to us, and it is ours for the taking, and we believe in it so much. He said, me and Julie are going to sell our home to buy this piece of property. They had just gotten their own home only a year. Before that, they've lived with people almost 20 years. And they just got their first home for their family. But he said, we're going to sell our home. And as he said that, another couple stood up and said, Pastor, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be out of line or interrupt, but I don't want you to have to sell your house. If you are going to sell your house, I don't want you to do that. I'll sell my home and get us in that piece of property. And another person said, no. He won't just sell his home. We'll sell our home. And before you know it, an altruistic, unselfish spirit hit the mother church. It was a day of maturity that happened. It was a day of purpose that became clear. And people stood up. And you know what? Later on, we possessed that property. We bought that property. Many of you have visited that property. Some of you have heard about that property. We bought that property, but this is the most beautiful part of that story, is that nobody had to sell their house to get us into that property. Why? Because God wasn't interested in people selling their house. He was interested in their heart being willing to sell their house. My friend, today, what is in your heart? You may not have to do all that God is asking, but if your heart is willing, it will take you to new levels. This is your time. Victory Outreach Tacoma, this is your time to set your sight on a great church. This is not your time to be satisfied with 100 people, with 200 people, with 300 people. This is a time for you to dream and say, God, not only do we want to take Tacoma, not only do we want to take the surrounding cities, but wherever you want to take us, into the uttermost parts of the world, we are ready. We want to go. Give Jesus a hand. Look at, I'm going to be closing with this. Are you getting something this morning? What areas can we get selfish in? We could get in selfishness with our family, friends, church, marriage, jobs, ministry, strangers, money, our relationship with the Lord. But this is what selfishness does. It comes and it gets us to aim our life towards barely getting by. Normal, average living. Are you hearing me? It comes to a place where we begin to aim our life, and we actually think that if my needs are met, I'm good. I'm living successfully. I'm living a successful life if my bills are paid. See, average, normal, don't play yet, just hold on. Average, click that thing off because it has a buzz. Average, normal, barely getting by living, look at me, is what the enemy wants you to be satisfied with. See, when you come here on Sunday morning like today, The whole plan and purpose of the Lord is to bring us all to an above average life. Are you hearing me? He wants us living here with an elevated perspective. But what happens is that when we don't know how to live this way throughout the week, we drop down and we live below average. So then we have to crave Sunday morning, because Sunday morning helps us not get to above average. When you're living below average, services like this get you back to average. And you start thinking that average was God's plan for you. Are you hearing me? But you have to sustain your breakthrough. Unselfishness leads to sustainable breakthrough living. In other words, the breakthrough you get today will last you till next Sunday. And next Sunday will take you higher. And then unselfish living, living for God's honor and glory, looking to help people, will cause you to sustain that. Are you hearing me? See, losing my wife was the greatest challenge I ever faced in my life. But the thing that I am so grateful to God is that that didn't kill me. It didn't cause me to go backwards. It didn't cause me to lose ground. Because I had to figure out with my relationship with the Lord, how does my life go to the next level without the best part of me? You took the best part of me, and now I have to believe that my life can go to another level. I don't understand that. And God says, you may not understand it, but I do. Because I sent your wife into your life for those 20 years. You thought she was going to be there forever. But I knew that she was in your life for 20 years. And that she did her job to help you get to you to where I wanted you. And now that I've taken her home, I'm going to do the rest another way. Are you hearing me? See, every day when I would wake up feeling miserable, feeling horrible, I go to sleep that way, wake up. It wasn't a question of, am I going to wake up feeling miserable or go to sleep miserable? It was a question of, how am I going to let that misery affect me throughout the day? Because I always felt empty. I always felt a loss. I'm a human being. But more time that's gone, that misery is leaving. More time, time heals. You can play real soft. Time is healing. Letting go of the past, letting go of those things, starting to understand. Are you hearing me? See, losing my wife could have shoved me into a selfish realm of life. There's some of you that have suffered a great loss, and even though that loss happened years ago, you still treat everybody like they should understand you. Why? Because you haven't discovered the purpose of your pain. And when you don't know the purpose of your pain, you won't know how to heal others with that pain. I had to learn the purpose of my pain, learn how to heal others with my pain, and learn how to build in me to get me where I am. And you know what helped me? You. The people. Your needs. When I wanted to crawl into a ball and just die, I thought of my wife's words. Babe, why should people have to wait for us to get healed before we help? You see, today, church, listen to me. If you catch anything today, catch the Spirit of God that says, I want to use your life. I want to use your life to bring hope to others. I want to use your life to heal others. I want to treat you and teach you how to understand the pain that you feel so that you can use it to heal other people. Some of you are saying today, if I give my life away, what do I have? What do I get? The Bible says that real clearly. It says that a woman was there and she met a man, and he was a man of God, and the man of God was hungry. And he said, "Can you feed me?" And she said, "Oh, you came to the wrong woman. I only have enough food to go in my house, and I'm going to make a meal for my son and I. We're going to eat it and we're going to die." And the man, in a paraphrased version, he said, "Let me challenge your selfish thinking. Go into your kitchen, but instead of making you your last meal, forget about you and your son and make me a meal and watch what happens." That woman, the Bible says, went into her room and went into her home, and she began to prepare, probably thinking, "What in the world am I doing? What in the world am I? I don't even know this man, and I'm cooking him my last meal." But something, when she was under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, there she was making that meal, and she went and she fed the man of God, and he ate. And the Bible goes on to say that when she went back, she had enough oil that she could not contain. If you look at some versions, it says that she had so much oil that she had to go around the neighborhood borrowing jars so she could fill the oil that she had. So when you ask me, what do I get? If I give God everything, I'll tell you, you get more than enough. Not only your needs met, your family's need, your community's need, your job's needs, everything. Stand to your feet this morning and give Jesus a hand clap of praise.